However, you're also praying for food for the body. For all who are in bodily need, give us this day our daily bread. The bread then symbolizes not only, say, literally bread for the body, or even just food for the body, but all bodily needs. Most of the human race goes to bed hungry every night. A young woman that I taught in Western Michigan went to India on a tour and told me, staying at a posh hotel, whatever floor she was on, and as she looked out, she told me, must be thousands of people in the evening going to bed for the night. What a dream world we're living in. No wonder 91% of all the reading done by Americans is fiction. Do you hear me? To feed, keep feeding the imagination. In this unreal world in which we're living. And when we're praying, give us this day our daily bread, we are praying, of course, that those who have, in God's name, might not just dole off at the crumbs falling off of, remember, the rich man's table in the Gospels, on which Lazarus could feed, but share not only of their superfluity, but share even of their needs. All of this is locked up in this fourth petition. How the hearts of human beings will be opened. Get a copy of the talk that our Holy Father gave in New York on his first pilgrimage. It was a pilgrimage to the United States. He measured his language, but he spoke in the most outspoken words I've ever heard any pope use. In the name of God, Americans, thank God for your generosity in the past. In the name of God, be aware of the needs of hundreds of millions throughout the world who are starving. I mean it when I say what I'm going to say next. I am afraid for the salvation of many people who are blind to the desperate bodily needs of their fellow human beings. And you don't have to go to Tanzania or India, the United States, and Michigan. And just for the record, Detroit. Fifth petition. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. As you can see, in one lecture after another, we come back to offensive people. That's what Christ kept doing. And to make sure we wouldn't forget, he put it right inside the Lord's Prayer. People will trespass against us. They will trespass what? They will trespass our own sweet, savory, saccharine will. There are two things we don't like. They're on time, they're late. Well, we're late, and they're on time. I think I should say this. I've given too many lectures in my life not to know how audiences differ. That's all I need. I'm in the midst of a very strong stimulus I want to make. I notice somebody. I wouldn't be human if I wasn't offended. I did tell you, didn't I, about the retreat that I gave to a community of nursing sisters? You remember? They couldn't get substitutes. So it was a full 8-day retreat. And because they had to continue with their nursing, I'm making the retreat. The first meditation was at 5:30 in the morning. 11 sisters in the community. By the time I finished my morning conference, the only one still awake was the superior. She wanted to be sure to give a good example. Oh, how blind we can be to our offending people. And therefore, when we ask our Lord to forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, this calls for an examination of conscience. Find out how people offend you. And be real bold. You don't have to show anybody this. Some people are more sensitive than others. And then, if we're going to obtain mercy from God for having offended Him, we must be completely, totally, I use the word mercilessly merciful to others. Merciless to ourselves, to be merciful to others. And as your notes say, how do people offend us? Just by being themselves. By their selfishness. And because we take offense. Can people be offensive without intending to offend us? Of course. Now, the providence. Oh, how wise of God. In other words, God had planned from all eternity. Once God permitted sin, hear it. Once God permitted sin, we're dealing with mystery. He must have had a divinely and profoundly grave reason. What? As far as we can fathom, God permitting sin. God has permitted sin in order that we then, by being offended by other people, might love God more than we would ever have loved Him had we not had the blessed opportunity of having offensive people enter our lives. What then is the purpose that God has? I have 6 reasons. First of all, purification. Why does God allow people to offend us? To purify us. From what? From our attachment to this world. In other words, God wants us, as we grow closer to eternity, to be weaned from everything in this world. In other words, we should not be nursed by this world. And that is why God puts offensive people in our lives. Because let's face it, what are or who are the most delightful, the most pleasant, and the most satisfying creatures on earth? Who are they? Well, human beings. And the one whom we are most delighted with is ourselves. Well, why then does God put offensive people in our lives? To purify us from our self-love and read the lives of the saints. Take the life of a saint like Saint Therese of Lisieux. Remember when she was washing dishes and the nun next to her kept splattering her? Remember? Can you put some water in, please? The little flower learned how to smile when somebody did something which was offensive. People can be totally oblivious of us. Did you know that? I was coming out of an airport and, well, in my bags, and with one hand, I was, well, opening the door. There was a fellow about 17 years old. He wanted to go inside. Well, I opened the door, and he had to, of course, I realized what he was doing. And it's one of those swinging doors. So he squeezed so that he could get in before I could get out. I opened the door. And, of course, I thought, Lord, this is great. What an opportunity. Why are we to pray that we might be as merciful to others as we expect God to be merciful to us? Because that's what sanctification means. Sanctification means being purified from sin. Sinlessness and sanctity are synonyms. Why? As expiation. Remember, we've been talking about having a debt of suffering. Well, as I keep telling people, because it's so true, the most painful experiences in our lives are not, you know, the experiences that, say, come from nature or even in our bodies. The most painful experience is in our soul, and it comes from other human beings. Our Lady, the Mother of Sorrows. Remember? $7. They were all caused by the pain she endured in her soul, caused by human beings, especially those who were so cruel to her own divine son. In other words, offensive people are, and I dare say this, our principal source of expiation. Again, our forgiving others merits grace. And remember, to merit grace, we've got to be in the state of grace. But secondly, in order to merit grace, besides being in the state of grace and doing something which is morally good, we must use our wills. Great. Offensive people necessarily make us use our wills, our naked wills, no emotion, no feeling, just sheer, pure, unqualified willpower. To love some people is pure willpower, not a speck of emotion. And even as the sisters of Mother Teresa are told to give, is it wholehearted and free service of the poorest of the poor? And the sisters are told to be cheerful. Now, behind that cheerfulness, which we are to practice, means that we use our wills to master even our facial muscles. Conversion. This is a law. Now, God can always act on His own. However, in His ordinary providence, God converts sinners by the patient, loving endurance of pain from sinners. You've all read, if you haven't, read the Confessions of St. Augustine. He talks about his mother Monica. Her husband was a lout. He was a bum. He was unfaithful to his wife. But her merciful forgiveness of her husband and her love of him obtained his conversion. Of course, sinners are offensive. Of course, sinners are hard to live with. Live with, even think of. But this is, in God's providence, the ordinary way that God leads them to conversion, through the suffering that those whom sinners hurt, and they can hurt deeply, patiently enduring for the conversion of the sinner, and finally, adoration. Remember, the God whom we adore is a merciful God. One of my favorite definitions of the adoration of a merciful God is the patient endurance of offensive people. It's adoration. No abstraction this. Adoration of a God of mercy, from whom I expect to be merciful to me. But here, this is a divine proportion in the measure that I am merciful to others. Sixth petition. And lead us not into temptation. Clearly, we are not asking to be spared temptation. That would be asking for death. He will be tempted. And, to emphasize what I mean, we'll be tempted until 10 minutes after we've died. To be on earth is to be tempted, which means to be tried. But then are we praying for? We are praying for the grace to know what temptations God wants us to endure, how He wants us to endure them, and with emphasis, why. Let me be as clear as I can. If I know that something is a temptation to sin for me, should I then expose myself to that temptation unless I have to? No. In the 25 years of teaching my Jesuit priests, I told them, if you're going to counsel others and just sunk in the dregs, maybe of iniquity, you better have a strong spiritual life. You're going to even say, give counsel to, not to say confess, sinners. You've got to be made of molten steel. Spiritually. And consequently, and this is sheer wisdom, what temptations does God want me to experience? Which ones does He want me to avoid? And if, and I couldn't be more down to earth, if television is a temptation for me, well, I don't keep repeating, lead us not into temptation, lead us not into temptation. You've got to cooperate with God's grace. Stop watching television. I did tell you, didn't I, about the research done in Germany on addiction to television? Well, I wish these were better known in the United States. Psychologists in Germany figured that television is addictive, but they couldn't prove it. So, with the help of the government, they promised 500 people to have to be handpicked. They had to be avid television watchers. And then they would sign a document agreeing to stay away from television for 6 months. No more TV for 6 months. And the award was a group of $10,000 in American money. Well, they have thousands of offers. They picked only 500. And of course, they had to be monitored to make sure that they were not cheating. It would allow an inspector to come into their homes at any time. By the first month, 1/4 of those 500 people couldn't take it anymore. By the second month, about 2/3. Not one of those 500 people survived 6 months without television. And some had to be hospitalized. They just were bound. I'm going to keep away from television. They couldn't make it. Needless to say, like my master, our Lord, who used parables to illustrate what he was teaching. Right? We talk about lead us not into temptation. We better know what we are doing. And then praying and asking God to enlighten us. What leads me into temptation? Into temptation where family life in only God knows, but I'm sure in millions of American homes, no longer exists. Who talks to anybody anymore? Watching television. Or listening to the radio. How? And this, of course, is the hard one. We're living in a world that has been saturated by demonic temptation. In speaking some time ago to the chief exorcist of Rome, maybe I've said this too before, I asked him, how come you people have so many exorcisms, say in Rome, and we have, it seems to me, so few possessed people in America? Oh, Father, Father. The devil has been so successful in the United States, he no longer dramatizes his possessing people. And either for the newcomers, but even for those who have heard this before, remember Marshall McLuhan's definition of the modern media. The modern media are engaged in a Luciferian conspiracy against the truth. America is being fed lies, demonic lies, in thousands of pages of newspaper every day, in thousands of hours of radio and television, being fed lies, lies spawned in hell. And I'm not being dramatic, I'm just telling you the truth. All of this is locked up in that petition. But it's not just for the mind. They're praying also to be able to resist temptations with our wills. But let me tell you, only God knows the percentage. It's surely 50% of our living up to and having this sixth petition answered is using our heads, our minds. In other words, we are to avoid those temptations which God wants us to avoid. And provided they are temptations that in His providence He wants us to experience, He will give us the strength to resist. But who remembers? Who remembers? The only grace that we're absolutely guaranteed receiving from God when we're tempted. The grace to pray, to obtain the grace to resist temptation. Finally, the last petition. But deliver us from evil. First of all, there are two versions for that closing petition of the Lord's Prayer. In the Latin Church, the ending is, deliver us from evil. In the Eastern Church, the ending is, deliver us from the evil one, from the devil. And both, by the way, as far as the church is concerned, are correct versions. Well, then, are we being told to pray by our Lord in the closing petition of the Lord's Prayer? When things are important, they are worth repeating. And it's surely worth repeating what evil is. Evil is whatever is contrary to the will. Whatever is contrary to the will is evil. However, there are two kinds of will that something may be contrary to. There is the created will, and there is the uncreated will. What is another word for whatever is contrary to the created will? Sin. Let me repeat. Oh, how this justifies my coming to Ann Arbor. say to myself, Lord, do you really want me to do this? And he repeats, what is another name for whatever is contrary to the created will? Well, whatever is contrary to the created will is pain. Oh, my dear friends in Christ. No wonder the truth has to be repeated and repeated and repeated. Do you remember to finish this sentence? The capacity of the human mind to forget is?
Yes.
Thanks for remembering that. Whatever is contrary to the created will is pain. Is it all pain is? Well, what else do you want? Everything which is contrary to our wills is painful. That's pain. So, are we therefore asking, are we asking God to be delivered from what we call physical evil, which is whatever is contrary to our wills? Are we? No. We're asking God to be delivered from, and the term is physical pain, physical evil, from pain. We're asking God to be delivered from that pain which He knows, and He knows, would not be for our spiritual benefit. However, evil is also, same word, evil. Whatever is contrary, and be asked, whatever is contrary to the created will is what?
Pain.
Let me try again. Whatever is contrary to the created will is?
Pain.
Now we get it. For the next 5 minutes. Whatever is contrary to the divine will is?
Sin.
Whatever is contrary to the divine will is?
Sin.
Whatever is contrary to the created will once more is?
Sin.
Whatever is contrary to the divine will is?
Sin.
And this is being videotaped. Well, this is basic pedagogy. So what are we asking God to deliver us from? We're asking God to deliver us absolutely and unqualifyingly from all sin, from all what we call moral evil. Now we've got two adjectives. Whatever is contrary to the human will is called physical evil. Whatever is contrary to the divine will is called moral evil. What's another word for physical evil?
Pain.
What's another word for moral evil?
Sin.
Oh, how happy this makes me. However, you're also asking to be delivered from the devil. But notice, and this is a whole course by itself, whether we are now giving courses in demonology. It's called last night from Washington and asked by a person whose judgment I trust, Father, you said we must publish something on demonology. The influence of the devil in our United States is very deep. And children are being taught, do you know this? Tarot cards, Ouija boards, and is it Dungeons and Dragons? That's demonism. How blasé. So when we are asking, therefore, to be delivered from evil, we're asking me to be delivered from the devil, insofar as he would lead us into sin. But hear it. God does allow, hear it, God does allow the devil to cause physical evil, pain. And once more, the distinction we made in our closing petition of the Lord's Prayer, we ask God to deliver us from all evil or sin, absolutely, unreservedly. We ask to be delivered from physical evil or pain, relatively, conditionally, provided and insofar as the physical evil or the pain would not be beneficial for our souls. And with that, I think we should close, because it is, by my clock, 10 minutes to 4:00.